The dust is settled. Many of you guys prayed double as long as what me and Natasha prayed. We've got a few things to learn. Welcome to the last session of our marching march journey. I wanted to first say that I'm really proud of you guys for doing this. Thank you, Daniel. I'm really proud of you guys for doing this, for being all in marching march. It really blesses me to see that. Then I want to invite you again, remind you again, the mission to Cape Town. It's going to be amazing. 1 to 5 May. Not exactly sure what we're going to do, but that's what I'm going to figure out in the next few weeks. And if God speaks to you, we'll pray about it every Sunday in church also. And if you hear anything, let me know. But 1 to 5 May, remember to book leave 2 and 3 May. Can I give the hands? Who's considering joining the mission? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. And the rest of you can consider again and see if you can book your leave for those 2 days. That's one thing. Then the other thing is that we have an excited sentiment about doing monthly outreach at first Thursdays. So I wanted to say that and put it on your radar to start thinking about it. I think the people that are there are the kind of people we can disciple, and if we can start to figure out the right and best way to do that, that might be one of the most uncomfortable and productive spaces for us to trust God for encounters with Jesus. So think about that. And then I heard a wonderful testimony that I thought we could start off with yesterday from John Rhee. So John Rhee, if you can maybe come and share just on the zeal that was imparted in your heart and the encouragement through Natasha's ministry, and then what happened.
Hello, everyone. I've got my bullet points. So the 3-day fast that we've done, I trusted God for supernatural energy at work, and it really happened, which was amazing. So then on the 3rd day, it was really, really, really challenging day. Very difficult customers. And after the last one, I walked out and the secretary that works with me saw that I was very tired. And she said, "You look tired." I said, "I am." And then I never complained about work before. And then that evening, here at the worship, when we break fast, Natasha prayed for me. And I'll share that just now. And I really had an encounter with God's love and comfort. And when we went home, when I drove home alone, so Natasha asked us here, who's got one person at work that you can share your testimony with? So I'm like, you know, I've got one unsafe person. So she's a Muslim, my secretary. And she asked for 2 people. Then I couldn't put my hand up because we only 2 at work. And then, I had to commit. So if I commit, I commit. So I drove home. I'm like, okay, God, I need a game plan. Because I prayed against intimidation some time ago for these type of things, because I felt it's in church and it should not be here. It's not from God. And then in my heart, I felt specifically towards Muslims for myself. So as I drove home, I thought there's a good link now with Ramadan coming up. It is now there, yeah. And then the fast that we had, so I thought she'll relate. So the next morning, quickly finished all the work. And then after work, I went to her, I had like 10 minutes. So I quickly did admin, and then I like squashed in my testimony. So I told her, like, you know why I was so tired yesterday? Then I told her our church did a fast. It was a 3-day fast. And then she stopped me and she's like, "Didn't you eat anything?" And I said, "No, but it was amazing. The first 2 days I was like full of energy." And the reason why we did it, you know, is really to seek God in the times that we are hungry. Because we're more hungry for Him. So cool, quick slide in testimony there for. And then I told her, so the evening when I told her, you saw I was so tired yesterday, and I literally contemplated why I'm doing what I'm doing, why I'm helping people who go through tough times. And then I told her at church, we gathered and we ate together, and we prayed for each other, and someone came up to me. Okay, Nastasha, a lady came up to me. And before she came up, I told her, I was telling God, I feel like Hannah under the tree with Ishmael, and I feel like, God, where are you? Do you see me? And she's like, yes, I resonate. And she's like, yes, I know that story, because Ishmael is the lineage of the Muslims, of Islam, as Isaac is ours. And then I said, the lady came up to me and she said, God sees you. And she said, I mean, that's exactly what God said to Hannah. I see you. And she got goosebumps. She said, oh my word, this is insane. And then I said, the lady said, God knows what you're doing in your life. He sees his plan over your life, and he will do it through you. And then I sneaked in the testimony. And then I said, like, and then do you know, then I remembered why when I was young, why I chose to do what I'm doing. So I was young. My father was very militaristic and very quiet. And very, so I went into perfectionism. And then she stopped me and she said, but that's not who I saw. Then I said to her, hold that thought. Then I realized God literally prepared already for my testimony, because she already saw the transformation in my dad. Then I told her, my bullets. So I said, so I would have gone down the line of depression and anxiety, because I was so much fear-driven, because I only understood and performance-driven love, and I really became very perfectionistic. And then I could really see, she doesn't know me that way, so I saw it really eat something. And then I said, I really encountered Jesus one evening. All of us sang together one evening. So it was actually at high school, we had a worship session, or primary school. And then, but I just said, we sang together, and I've encountered the love of Jesus, and he flooded away all that anxiety. And I really realized that I'm worthy, I'm loved, irrespective of my performance, and nothing of that matters. And then I told her, and I never had that anxiety again regarding the performance. But we all progress with God, sanctification, but I just told her the beautiful part of the testimony. And then I just told her, like, when God really imparted that grace in my heart, which obviously she doesn't understand that word maybe, and that changed my life, then I really got lenses of seeing my father's hurt. And I really loved him in that way. And because he also struggled with receiving God's grace. And then literally with time, he received God's grace. And that's who you saw and who you actually met. Yeah, so that was so cool. So thank you for your impartation. And really just God's boldness. Because I felt when Nastasha prayed for me, I asked for boldness. And I didn't fear at all. It was so comfortable. And God's obedience is so amazing. And I trust him for Jesus at the door in a very creative way going forward with the lady.
Thanks, Jean-Henri. You can do another round of applause for Nastasha.
Hello, it's good to be back. That is so amazing, Jean-Henri, and I've just been enjoying seeing just your hunger and your intentionality. And that's really what it's about, is being intentional about the gospel, being intentional about going out there and hungering after the Holy Spirit to come and fill you, because he fills the hungry, right? That is amazing. I want to ask if there's anyone with one burning testimony, a quick one, anyone? A testimony of where you shared Jesus, the gospel, with anyone in the last 2 weeks? Yes? Go for it. You can come share.
I felt a little bit odd because I'm not sure if it is a testimony, but it is, so it's odd. But anyways, when we were reaching out on Wednesday, just want to say thank you, Lo, for praying and choosing Kloof Street. That's also an amazing place to pray. Stefan and I were partnered, and we walked down Kloof Street, and we stopped, and the first person we spoke to, his name was Nick, and he was sitting outside of a, like, restaurant or bar, I'm not quite sure, but anyways, we focused on him, and we were just asking him questions, and it was going really well, and we asked him, does he want to talk, and he said, yes, he has time, and we're talking, and then he eventually told us that this is his first week, he's just opened up this bar, this is his, and, you know, he's yeah, it's his second one, and he's quite excited, but it's, yeah, he's not sure what's going to happen. And while we were talking, eventually we got to Jesus at the door, and we were explaining it to him, and we asked him, he sounds quite familiar with the Lord, is he, I'm not sure what I'm getting, and he said, yes, my ex-wife used to be a big Christian. So we're like, okay. But yeah, so we got to share the gospel with him, and it was very interesting and encouraging because you could see how heavily burdened he was at the time and how he knew everything, but how he'd left that. And yeah, it's just been staying with me the whole time this week, how he knew the Lord and how he's gone from that, and yeah, being able to pray for him in this time. And I told him that this is where our church is, so if anyone sees him, you know. But it was just very encouraging to see, to almost see how that can be taken off and, yeah, experience how we can just go and share that hope again.
What's your name? Annie. Danny. I just want to pray. Yeah, I just feel the Lord saying that he is stretching out his hand to increase boldness over you. Just how you've been stepping out with such a boldness, and I feel like he wants to bring even an increased measure of boldness over you. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your boldness and power to come upon Danny in such a great measure, Lord. And I thank you for a momentum over this. We bless her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's incredible. I want to hear more testimonies, but I'm scared we're not going to get the rest of the session. But this is really what it's all about, right? Is people in your workplace encountering Jesus on a daily basis, is going out with other friends and sharing the gospel with the people here in Cape Town. This is the goal, not marching march, but that our lifestyle becomes a witnessing lifestyle of Jesus. I want to share just a few testimonies with you. I'll cut it short and then we'll get right into things. But who of you were at the waterfront outreach last Saturday? There were some of you, right? There were, yeah, we saw 9 people come to salvation at the waterfront, hallelujah. And we saw 9 people recommit their lives to Jesus. Praise Jesus. People coming into the kingdom of heaven. That was really amazing. And then, yeah, I just wanted to share a testimony from yesterday. A friend and I went to Tiger Valley. I felt like I need, do you sometimes feel like you want to go out and witness to the lost, but you just need someone to help you, you know? And that's why I think Jesus sent the disciples out 2 by 2. And so I also feel a bit out of it sometimes. But Monday, I messaged a friend. I said, let's go out tomorrow. We went out yesterday. And we started approaching people. The first lady we approached, we shared with her, Jesus loves you so much. And we just feel like he wants to, I said, I feel like he wants to come into a specific situation in your life and touch you right now. She bursts into tears and shares with us how she's been going through a very hectic divorce in the last 2 years and how it's impacting her 5-year-old daughter. We ministered the gospel to her, touches her. It was amazing. Afterwards, we went to a 20-year-old and a 22-year-old couple, and the guy had crutches, so I just saw him, and I'm like, go pray for him, prayed for his knee, power of God touched him, then started sharing the gospel with them using Jesus at the door. You know that section where you trust the Holy Spirit to move and touch and speak through you? In that part, they were kind of like very casual about the gospel the whole way through, but at that part, the Holy Spirit starts speaking specifically to the young man and words to this lady about just certain loves that she has for, I felt like, dogs and cats and stuff, and I don't know, it was, for me, it's weird, but it touched her heart so much that he knows her specifically. And they both received Jesus in that moment. They received salvation. Praise Jesus. Yeah. There was another testimony, but I won't go into that now. Yeah, so I want to encourage you. I see that it's already a culture, and I'm sure it is with Diabia being the pastor. But when we share testimonies, I'm not talking about just in church, in small group, in your prayer meetings, in your leadership meetings, at a braai, on your discipleship meetings, just when someone asks you how it's going. I'm a testimony junkie, and I have been for years. When someone asks me how's it going, I share a testimony because I see the power of testimony. When I hear a testimony, it stirs my faith. And then in the next moment, I feel like I'm going somewhere. And I'm like, oh, that happened with that person. So I have faith to pray for this person. Or I have boldness to just start speaking to that person. And it literally multiplies a culture of witnessing to people. So I want to encourage you, every single testimony, even when you looked like a fool, you took a risk, it was a wrong word, share those testimonies. It's us learning to partner with Jesus. And it's amazing. You will see a culture of evangelism build out in your church just by sharing testimonies. Okay, so I want to remind us why we are here. We have been in these three sessions, tonight being the last session, we've been learning the tools I believe Jesus gave us in his word to seek and to save the lost, right? Now, there's a plan B method, which is sometimes the more comfortable method. It's all the strategizing, how to reach out to the lost. It's all the inviting, all the hard work in building relationship. And there's so much work, but there's so little fruit. And I believe Jesus is taking us back right now to plan A. How did he intend for us to share the gospel? And when we do what Jesus taught us to do, we'll see what Jesus and the apostles saw, right? And so in the first session, what would we learn? Something we all already have. Your born again testimony. And I hope you're sharing this daily with every single person you meet with, because it is the power to save them too. Then in session two, what did we learn? How to share the simple gospel, right? Using Jesus at the door. Every one of us have the simple gospel. It's the power of God to save people. And so keep sharing that. And even if you're not comfortable yet with Jesus at the door, I want to encourage you, just keep sharing until Jesus gives you a revelation of the simple gospel in Jesus at the door. It's amazing. Tonight, we're going to be speaking about, you know, as it says in Mark 16, verse 15 and 18, it's Jesus, he's speaking to his followers. He's not speaking to the extroverted. He's not speaking to the evangelistically gifted. He's speaking to all followers of Christ. And he says, go now into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So paraphrase for Cape Town, go into all of Cape Town and preach the gospel to every person you meet with. Hallelujah. And then it says in verse 18, do we have that scripture up? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So what is it saying? Where the gospel is preached, the Lord is present to confirm it with signs and wonders. These signs will follow the preaching of the gospel. And I believe as you steward your testimony, what you already have, as you steward the gospel by preaching it, he's going to back it up with power. You're going to see the Holy Spirit move in power through you. And so even like with that couple that I met with yesterday, you know, as you go out, you're equipped with these various tools that we've been learning. I saw he needs healing in his knee. I pray for him for healing. That's a tool, right? Praying for the sick. Then I share the gospel with him, the simple gospel. That's a tool. And then I hear the Holy Spirit's voice specifically for both of them. Like, I didn't make that happen in any way. I'm just there sharing the gospel, doing what I know to do. But I have the tools. And so we need the tools with every person that we meet with. So the Holy Spirit can just whip whichever one out he wants to use. Are you guys awake? Okay. Now, we don't just want to tell people about this amazing gospel, and this is what we're getting at in session three. We don't just want to tell people how powerful Jesus is. We want people in that moment to experience his power, to have an encounter with Jesus himself. First hand, not second hand. And so tonight we're going to speak about how do we access the power of God when we witness to the lost? How do we access his presence when we witness to the lost? You know his presence in your intimate place, but how do you give it to the people out there? And then more specifically, I felt to speak to us here tonight about praying for the sick, about seeing the power of God move to heal the sick. And so we're specifically going to go into that. And we're also going to pray for people here that are sick, that have any type of condition, whether it's been for a year or 10 years. And I believe the Lord will heal you tonight. Okay, I'm going to share three testimonies with you now. And there's a common thread in these testimonies. I want you to look out for what is the common thread in these three testimonies. So the first one was in the beginning of this year. We were at the waterfront and also just going out witnessing to people. And I approached four young girls, American girls from the age of like 16 to 22. They said they're on holiday here with their families. And I take out Jesus at the door. I start sharing the gospel with them. This girl looks really hungry. This girl looks really hungry. This girl looks like she doesn't know what to do with the gospel. And she's awkward and she's just laughing and kind of, you know, she just doesn't know what to do with it. But I keep sharing because these two are hungry. And by the time I get to the part where I'm praying for them, immediately, and I pray for them one for one because I know God is going to speak specifically for them. For each person. And so I pray for this one, and immediately the Holy Spirit starts speaking, and I say to her, I just feel like, again, animals. I feel like, I don't know why, but I feel like you have this amazing love for animals, like you actually want to work with animals one day, and I can't remember, something else. And they all look at me like this, and I'm like, what? She's like, this girl says, I want to study to be a veterinarian. I'm like, well, Jesus knows that it's about you. It's so amazing. And I start praying for this one. I'm like, I feel like Jesus is, or I feel like you have this love for children. Like you actually want to be a teacher. And she's like, I'm busy studying to be a teacher. And so the voice of God just specifically comes, and you can rely on the power of the gospel. Anyway, to back you up when you share it. And all four of them, because God came and showed up, all four of them put their trust in him that day and received salvation. Hallelujah. Then the second testimony, this was while I was working in East London in the finance department of a company there. There was a young Australian girl, Joanna, and she started working there shortly after me. When I met her, I shared the gospel with her in the kitchen one day, and about 2 weeks later, Joanna comes to me and she says, I have this intense stomach pain, and I'm like, well, come, let me pray for you. We go to the bathroom, I pray for her, the presence of God comes, it flows through me to her, touches her, the peace of God fills her, the pain is gone, she starts crying and laughing and hugging me and thanking me, thank you so much, Nastasha. And about 2 weeks later, she comes to me again, she says, I've got migraines, can you pray for me again? I'm like, yes, we go to the bathroom, we pray, presence of God comes, fills her, relieves her pain, she's crying and laughing and hugging me and saying, thank you so much, Nastasha. About 2 weeks later, she comes to me again with some pain or something, peace of God touches her. Joanna became addicted to the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. And a while later, I shared my testimony with her. I asked her if she wants to receive Jesus. She says, I'm not ready in this moment, but when I am, you will be the first to know. A few months later, Joanna messages me. She says, can we go for coffee? I know this is the day she's going to get born again. We go. I share the gospel with her. Joanna receives salvation that day. Glory to Jesus. And the third testimony, remember we're looking for the common thread, right? This is a bit closer to home. It's my brother who's about, I think he's 9 or 10 years younger than me. Now when he was young, he was diagnosed with ADHD. And from a young age, they put him on all the pills, the Ritalin, I can't remember what they're all called, I get mixed up. But all the stuff, and basically his whole life was scheduled. The pills were scheduled according to what he needs to do. If he needs to study, he needs to take that pill. If he needs to sleep, he needs to take that pill. If he needs to be active, he needs to take that one. His whole life was dictated and scheduled with the pills. He was in and out of psychologists and psychiatrist offices all through growing up. And when he was 18, 19, after school, His day and his night started switching around. He would be awake all night in his room on his own, and he would sleep during the day. He became isolated, socially awkward, really just not living a real life. And in his early 20s, he had chronic stomach pain, constant stomach pain, so much so that at some point he wanted to see some Canadian doctor and in Canada. And so one day I say to him, do you know Andre Kruger from East London? Pastor Andre Kruger from Shuffle East London. So he was having these Holy Spirit impact weekends at various shofars at that stage. And so in 2019, I invite my brother and I say, go there. They're going to pray for people who need healing. Go. He was going to come, but the Saturday didn't end up coming. About 2 weeks later, my husband and I were visiting at my dad. And here comes my brother down the stairs at like 3 p.m. when he wakes up. And I go chat to him in the kitchen. And he says, I really wanted to go to that thing for my stomach to pray, that thing, that weekend. And I'm like, well, I can just pray for you now, and Jesus will heal you. He's like, no, but I wanted the international guy to pray for me. So I'm like, well, he's going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is the one who's going to heal you. Let me pray for you. And he's like, okay. And next thing, I really don't know how this moment happened. But next thing, my dad, my stepmom, Stefan, and me are around him. And now we're praying. This is unheard of in that home. They're conservative. That we've never done it before or since. And I think, not in this way. Anyway, so I realized in that moment, I don't just want to pray a nice prayer and leave, and he leaves the same. I need God to show up. And the boldness of the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and I start praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit just starts taking over, and I start breaking stuff off of his life. I start saying who he is in Jesus. And I just remember this moment. I say to him, I break off all anxiety off of you in Jesus' name. And next moment, the power of God hits him. He falls backwards. His eyes open this wide. Stefan, my husband, catches him. I'm like, oh my hat, now everything's changed. And this is like completely not in there. This is not, he doesn't know about this stuff. But his eyes are bewildered. And I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit. You can stand up again. And I keep praying. But a few weeks later, my dad, stepmom, him, and the younger brother are on holiday in Kruger Park, and the younger brother leads the older brother to receive salvation. And since that day, my brother decided to leave all the pills, just stopped all of them, stopped all the psychiatrists, and his whole life has turned around where he's sleeping kind of more at night now, and awake at day. He's got friends, he started going to church, he's completely normal, and the power of God touched him. He knew about Jesus all through his life, been in church every Sunday, but that day the power of God touched him. What do those three testimonies have in common? That's good enough, yes. Anyone else want to use another word? Yes? Your reveal, supernatural, yes, it's all on the right track. Anyone want to try one more word? Healing, yeah. Okay, so, yes. They all experience, Jesus is always the correct answer, yeah. Power, they all experience, this is all right, but the word I'm looking for is experience. They experienced something, each of them, right? They had an experience. And I didn't just tell the American girls that God knows them. In that moment, Holy Spirit power showed up and spoke to them. I didn't just tell Joanna, Jesus can touch you, Jesus can heal you. In that moment, he did. I didn't just tell Simeon, my brother, that God is powerful. In that moment, the power of God touched him. And that's what we want when we witness to people. We want the power of God to be demonstrated to people. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 5, and this is our key scripture this evening. Paul says, my speech and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. What is Paul saying here? He's not saying that he didn't preach the gospel, right? Because he's saying, my speech and my preaching. So he did preach the gospel with words, but he's saying, I didn't convince people of this gospel by all my revelations of the gospel, by all my opinions and teachings of the gospel, by my history and journeying and experience, my personal experience of the gospel. How did he convince people? He preached a simple gospel message, so easy a child can understand it. And then he convinced people with a demonstration of what? Being a nice Christian and smiling? Doing my job excellently? Just building relationship? No, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Doing the things only God can do. Not human strength can do it. None of those testimonies I had anything really to do with them. They knew in that moment God showed up. And that is what God wants to do through us. He wants to show up. He wants to demonstrate himself to the people around us. And I just feel specifically, I just feel that, we want to debate, we want to argue, maybe we want to, especially intellectuals, don't do that. Trust in the power of the Holy Spirit. Become childlike. Take a risk. Put your faith in him. It's the best ever. And you will see people's lives touched and transformed by Jesus. You'll see the fruit you long to see. People in bondage don't need your good advice. They need a good Savior. That's Reinhard Bonnke, by the way. Don't tell people Jesus can heal you and pray and leave them sick. Pray and trust Jesus is going to heal and show up in that moment. Don't say Jesus can speak to you, he knows you. Pray and trust that in that moment, he's going to speak through you. Allow him to do it in that moment. And so tonight we'll be equipping with how do we demonstrate the gospel when witnessing to the lost. Just want to check our time. Okay, so I want you to share with the person next to you, just real quick, like 30 seconds each. I'm sure that when you came to salvation, or the reason why you're still following Jesus to this day, is not because of a good teaching. I'm sure you had an experience yourself with Jesus, either his voice, his touch, his power, his healing. So I want you to share with the person that encounter, that experience at salvation, before salvation, or something really significant in your walk with him. Okay, I want you, did the other person share yet? Did both share? Okay, the other person can share quick. If you didn't finish, you can tell them later. So give the other person a turn quick. Okay. Okay, so I'm sure that those were amazing testimonies of what the Lord has done in your life. And this is really worth sharing. Yeah, it's amazing. So I want to share with you now, how do you access? We've been speaking about the power of God, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit as you witness to the lost. How do you access the presence of God, the power of God when witnessing? Now, this is my and my husband's personal experience. It's not based on a scripture or something, but I believe that it will help you maybe as well. Click something like it did for us. So we moved to East London just after we got married at the end of 2016. Like I said, we were part of Shofar East London there with Pastor Andre Kruger and his wife Sonica, and they were just on a passionate pursuit of the presence and the power of God in the church and in the culture of the church, and it was incredible being a part of that. But the first, that's not what I want to tell you now. But in the beginning, when we were there, for some reason, Andre said to Stefan, my husband, at the end of the church service, when they do altar calls and there's ministry time, Andre says to Stefan, come, walk with me. Every Sunday, we'd say to Stefan, come, walk with me. And Stefan would walk with him as Andre prays and ministers to people. And after a few times of walking with Andre, Stefan says to Andre, I don't understand, Andre. Now, this is Stefan, who's been saved for about 12 years at that point. He's done all the encounters. He's done all the Bible schools. He's led them. He's done missions. He's led missions. He's filled with the Spirit. He's led small groups. He's done all of these things, right? Now, this is at that point. He says, Andre, I don't understand. When someone comes to me for prayer, I listen to their need, and then I pray a nice prayer, hoping that something happened, and I leave nervously. When you pray for people, something happens in that moment. People start shaking. People start crying. People start laughing. People start falling over. People's physical bodies get healed. Like, you speak stuff that touches them. How does this happen when you pray for people? And Andre says to him, oh, I pray from the presence of God. Stefan is like, his frame of reference is God's omnipresent. I don't understand what you say. Andre's like, no. When someone comes to me for prayer, I don't focus on the person and what I think I should pray for them. I focus on Jesus in that moment, on his presence. I turn all my attention to him. And then that river of intimacy with him starts to flow. And then he starts to move through me, and he starts to speak and do things, and I just ride the wave. I just speak. I feel you coming with peace right now, filling this person. You're lifting heavy burdens. Thank you, Jesus. You're breaking off things right now. Whatever I hear, I just speak, and he moves. Hallelujah. And so my husband and I, we start praying like this. Whenever we minister to people, we don't focus on this or this. We focus on Jesus. And so we start going with Andre to these Holy Spirit impact weekends all over South Africa. We would go to different shofar churches and with the team. And at the end, we're praying. And on one of these weekends, we're at Franschhoek. And on the Friday evening, we're praying for many people. And towards the end of the night, Stefan tells me this. He was tired. He prayed for many people. And there's another lady, an older lady, that comes to him for prayer. And he's tired. He puts his hand on her. He prays like we always pray now. Puts his attention on Jesus. And he says, I just hear the word roses. 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 The aroma of roses. 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 I just feel roses. 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 Next moment, this woman bends over front like this. She starts shaking under the power of the Spirit. Snot is dripping from her face as she's crying and having an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We saw this because most of us were finished praying for people. Next morning, the lady comes to us, comes to Stefan. She brings him a rose. She says, you don't know this, but I'm the roses lady in Franschhoek. You see all these roses around the church? I planted them. Whenever there's an event, a celebration, a birthday, I bring the roses. I'm the roses lady in Franschhoek. Isn't that so powerful? Jesus knows her. He doesn't need your wise sounding prayers. He needs his word to be spoken through you to touch people and move in power. It's really easy. And so another way I can put it is, instead of when I witness just telling people about this Jesus, I start turning my attention, my focus, my spirit attention. He's here. He's ready to speak. He's ready to move. He's ready to heal. And then I listen. And whatever I feel he wants to do or say, I jump onto that and I see, is that? And I only see when I start saying it. It's amazing. Okay, so this, are you still with me? This demonstration of the Spirit, and we're going to get to healing a bit later, but this demonstration of the Spirit was not always a part of my life. And that is why, even though I had a burning passion in my heart to see the lost saved, since I was 18 years old, that's 20 years ago, I saw little fruit. I could maybe count on two hands the number of people I led to salvation in the first 12 years of me being saved. That's not the fruit Jesus intended for us to see or why he died on that cross. I remember I would drive to work in the mornings. I can't remember if I've told you this, but I would drive to work in the mornings as a chartered accountant, and I would pray the same prayer every morning. I would say, Holy Spirit, give me boldness and power to be your witness at my work. Give me divine appointments and words of knowledge to share with the people at my workplace. Every day, same prayer. Get to work. My focus would shift to my task list. I would do my job excellently. And then I would return home in the evenings feeling disappointed, like my day just looked like everyone else's, and I didn't share Jesus with anyone around me. The moments were few and far, maybe every 3 months something happened, but it definitely was not part of my daily life. I remember I would read the Bible, and I would see the amazing miracles that Jesus and the apostles did, all the like thousands of salvations, and I would look at my life and I would feel this mismatch, like I can't relate, but I know this is for me and I know this is for part of our daily life. Then we get to East London. Now this is my journey. Get to East London 2017, beginning of 2017, Andre does a 3-month topic in church on healing. Jesus wants to heal the sick through us. And and at the end of every service, for 12 services straight, he preaches on healing, physical healing. And at the end of every service, there's people coming forward in need of healing, all kinds of stuff, and we're praying, and people are getting healed. I think it was before the first or the second service, I'm spending time with Jesus before the service, and I'm like, I don't just want to see Andre up there praying for people with faith. I want to go to church with faith that if I'm standing on that stage and someone in a wheelchair comes to me, I also want to have faith to pray for them. And so I'm going there and I'm stirring my faith, and I pray for people the first Sunday. I don't see someone healed through me. I pray for someone the second Sunday. I don't see Jesus heal someone through me. Third Sunday, there's a lady that comes to me with an 8-year ankle injury. And I pray for a raw prayer. I'm on the floor. The worship is going. I'm like, Jesus, I know you can heal. Jesus, I know you can heal her. Heal her. Touch her. I'm just praying my own words down there. No one can hear me. I stand up. And she's like, the pain's gone. The pain's gone. Jesus heals her. 8-year ankle injury. I'm like, hallelujah. I'm still at my new workplace meeting people in the kitchen, you know, when you're at your new job. And so everyone I'm meeting in the kitchen, it feels like everyone I meet with, they have some physical condition, sickness. Now, when healing's on your radar, you'll notice that you probably meet with someone every day that is in need of God's healing power. Now, I'm meeting people, and I'm hearing of sicknesses I've never heard of before, but now I know what they are, and all kinds of stuff, endometriosis, cancer, migraines, insomnia, all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, well, Jesus is healing people in church on Sunday. I can just pray for them. Now, I'm not super bold at my workplace yet, so I invite the women into the bathroom and I pray for them. Stefan later on called it the bathroom ministry. And so, one of the first ladies I pray for, Sam, she has like chronic insomnia for years. And at that stage, she shares with me, it's so bad. She's on the highest form of chronic medication, but she doesn't enter into deep sleep. She falls asleep for 5 minutes, wakes up after 5 minutes, falls asleep. She can't sleep for more than 5 minutes, and it's impacting, as you can imagine, all areas of her life. And so I pray for her. Next day, she comes to work. She says, I slept for 4 hours last night. I'm like, that's amazing. Let's pray again. We pray again. The next day, she comes. I slept for 6 hours last night. I'm like, how much sleep do you want? I'm okay. I know some people are okay with six, but I'm more of an 8 hours person. And she's like, we can pray again. We pray again. Next day, she bursts into our office. She's making coffee. Copies at the thing. And she says to everyone, if you need prayer for anything, ask Nastasha. She prayed for me. I slept for 12 hours last night. I slept through my alarm. Hallelujah. And later on, I had an opportunity to share the gospel with Sam. She received Jesus as her Savior. And months later, I asked Sam, are you still sleeping? Yes. Months later, still sleeping? Yes. Wow, Jesus healed her. And there was another lady at my workplace, Moshe, her dad was diagnosed with cancer. We prayed for her dad. Next time he went for tests, the cancer is gone. Sent him for specialized testing in Cape Town. The cancer is still gone. I believe Jesus healed him. I started praying for people everywhere. If I saw hearing aids, braces, foot, moon boots, whatever, crutches, wheelchairs, off legs, I just prayed for people everywhere. And on Skype calls with people in Canada, just praying for people. My boldness grew from the bathroom to the passages in my workplace, to the offices, to the boardroom, to the kitchen, to the parking lot, and pretty much on the in the last week that I was working there, I felt to go share a word in the gospel with the CEO. And so when you see the power of God move, when you tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, you will see fruit you never dreamed of seeing. I started seeing many, many salvations in that workplace and since. Massive fruit, and your boldness will grow, and you see God move through you. It's game over. You can't stop anymore. People are looking for a powerful God. The gospel is full of power. In 2017, I told you guys this, I think, briefly, but I went to a Todd White Power and Love conference at the end of 2017. Who knows Todd White? That man had such a big impact on my life. But the leaders, they prayed for all 1,500 attendees on the third day. And as I was going forward for prayer, no one touched me, but the power of God touched me in a way I've never experienced before or since. The power of God flung me through the air. Someone screamed, pick her up, again, knocked me, flew me through the air. I'm not talking about a nice fall. I'm talking about the power of God jerked my body through the air. And since that day, it was like this activation took place. Like I'd already been praying for people in the workplace, seeing God move, but I had not yet started going out on the streets much praying for people. But that Monday, after returning from the conference, I was in Pick n Pay after work, saw a lady with crutches. Next thing I know, I'm praying for her. An activation, I don't know how it works, but something came upon me of the Spirit that day, and all of a sudden, I just started approaching people. Now, it hasn't been like that all the time. I do it now intentionally, but something activated in my spirit that day, and I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to ask us to move through us in power, that He wants us to have a hunger and a desire for this. Okay, now we're going to go over into healing. You guys still okay? Now, healing is a pretty big deal to Jesus. If you look at the Bible, let me just put this down quick. You see these yellow flags? I'll show you now when I open it up a bit. This is everywhere Jesus healed people, or the apostles healed people. Now check here. It's pretty much on every page of the New Testament. I know you can't see properly, but you know this, right? It's pretty much on every page of the New Testament. It's a big deal to Jesus, healing the sick. I think I was driving here and I was like wondering, why are we seeing so many people sick? I believe it's because Christians aren't praying for them to be healed. I heard a teacher say, I don't tolerate sickness. Speaking of in his own life, I don't tolerate sickness, just like I don't tolerate adultery. Sickness is from the pit of hell. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And I believe if we are not seeing the power of God flow through us and touching the people around us, the power of God, we're missing out on knowing a big component of God, of Jesus, because he is powerful. And if we're not seeing his power move in our daily life, we're not getting to know the fullness of Jesus. We're missing out a big part. We were made to be vessels of the Holy Spirit power. We were made to do as believers the things only God can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I'm pausing a lot because I'm really sensing the Holy Spirit in this. And he's awakening my heart even as I've been preparing. This is not a once-off thing, it's a daily thing, right? Going out in faith that he wants to heal people through us daily, looking at a condition and saying, this is what the word of God says, and responding and praying. We know what the will of God is because it tells us in John 6, verse 38, it says, this is Jesus speaking. I'm going to teach us just a few things about healing because I just want to break some lies, just real simply. So it says, Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. What does this tell us? When Jesus came to the earth in human form, he came to show us what is the will of the Father. And so we can know through what Jesus did and said, what the will of God is, right? It tells us. It shows us. And so if we're wondering what God's will is towards healing, look at the life of Jesus. It says in Matthew 4, 23, I just want to check, Juliet, do we have those printouts this time? Okay, no problem. But there's, even if you can maybe send it to everyone, because there's a lot of scriptures there, if you want to go read up all the scriptures on healing. But I'm just going to mention one in each point here. So it says, so first point is, Jesus healed all. Jesus healed everyone who came to him for healing, right? Now I can go through my Bible. I've got your Matthew 4, 23, Matthew 8, 16, Matthew 11, 55, and there's many more, where it says Jesus healed everyone. I want to read one to you in Matthew 4, verse 23. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. We can know that if someone you see needs healing, Jesus included them in healing. He healed all. If you may be asking, there was that one town that he didn't perform much miracles. It's because people didn't come to him and put their faith in him. It wasn't that he couldn't do it, right? He wants to heal everyone. Then it is Jesus' will to heal. Number two, how do we know this? In Mark 1, verse 40 to 42, there's a situation. There's a guy with leprosy that comes to Jesus. And what does he say to him? Can you go to that scripture? A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I am willing. Why did he choose these specific words here? Right? Why this situation? To show us that it is God's will. When we're praying for someone, it's not biblical to say, if it's your will, God, in this moment, heal this person. It is God's will to heal. And it is Jesus' will to heal now, in this moment. How do we know this? Because every single person who came to Jesus was healed in that moment. He didn't say, no, I'm going to heal you in a few months' time to test your character a bit more, or I'm going to heal you in a few months' time. What else do people say? I don't know. It's not my timing now to heal you. It's in a few months' time, it's your time to be healed. He didn't say that to anyone. He healed everyone immediately when they came to him. Everything that needed to happen for the power of healing to be released has already been done. There's nothing more that Jesus needs to accomplish. When he died on that cross, he paid for healing, right? It's finished. It's already been done 2,000 years ago. Now, and he told us as believers to pray for the sick. Luke 9 tells us that Jesus sent out his 12 disciples and he said to them, go and preach the gospel and do what? Heal the sick. Then, I think in the chapter thereafter in Luke 10, he speaks to 70 people and he says, go and preach the gospel and heal the sick. That's what he told people to. That's what he commanded them to do. I believe if you were here tonight, he would send you and say, go preach the gospel and heal the sick. In Matthew 10, 7 to 8, it says, as Jesus said, as you go, so wherever you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then show people by healing the sick, by cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, and casting out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, we've made it complicated, and I just want to make it simplistic. I know we have experiences, I know we have disappointments, but I want to make it just simplistic like a child. When you see someone that is sick, pray for them, for healing. That's all we've been commanded to do. When you see someone who's sick, obey and go pray for them. As you go, pray for the sick. It doesn't even say pray for the sick, it says heal them. Pray for everyone, if you have faith or not, right? If they have faith or not, if it's a believer or an unbeliever, just go and pray for the sick. Now, we many times think, faith, if I have faith or not, is a feeling. You have a nice feeling and then you have faith. No, faith is not a feeling. It's a decision of the will to act. So you make a decision. I'm going to pray for this person because Jesus commanded me to pray for the sick and because I believe in his word. Now, just like we don't take glory when someone gets healed, like I don't understand why people say, when you tell these amazing testimonies of you prayed for someone that got healed and then like, oh, they want attention for themselves. How can you get any attention when Jesus healed someone? There's no way you can do that. But just like we don't take any glory when someone does get healed, we also don't take any blame when someone doesn't get healed. Does that make sense? We're just vessels. Now, this was an amazing revelation for me, and I'm going to move on, and we're going to pray in a moment. But Jesus, it says in Psalm 103, that do not forget the Lord and all his benefits, who forgives all your sin and who heals all your diseases. Now that same cross that we received salvation from, the forgiveness of sins from, that saves others, that we put our faith in daily, doesn't matter what our day-to-day looks like, we believe we are saved, right? That same cross that saves people is the cross that we put our faith in. By his stripes we were healed, right? And so when we put our faith in Jesus as the healer in the cross, we're not getting swayed by our experiences and by what we see and what we don't see. It's by his stripes we are healed and we pray. Does that make sense? So when I pray for people, I'm looking at the cross. I'm looking at what he's done on that cross. And I'm saying, Jesus, your body was broken so that this body can be made whole. Your body was whipped, bruised. You had stripes on your body so that this sickness today can be healed. And that's what we look at. We look at the finished work of the cross when we pray for healing. Don't look at our faith. We don't look at how we can conjure some power up or anything. We don't try to make things happen. We don't get angry when something doesn't happen. But we just look at the cross and pray. Everyone looks a bit disheartened, so I'm not sure if I should share this now, but I'm going to, and then we're going to watch a Todd White clip, and then we're going to pray. Now, I'm not disregarding bad experiences or disappointments in your personal life. If there's things that you still trust in God for healing, if there's things that you've really stood in faith for and you haven't seen it happen, I'm trying to put our faith back in the power of Jesus who heals. Just a quick testimony or a quick story that I felt to share tonight is that my husband and I struggled to fall pregnant, and after a year of trying, the doctors gave us a 3% chance of conceiving. And that day that we received the results and all the statistics and everything, it was a printout like this. We really wanted children. We wrote over that Jesus paid for this in red marker. And every time we thought of those results, we thought of this: Jesus paid for this. And month after month after month after month, stood in faith, we prayed. We knew Jesus is going to give us a child. Month after month, we also had disappointment. In October 2020, after doing probably about 15 pregnancy tests where you just see it not being positive, October 2020, we do a test and a miracle happens and we're pregnant. And Lily is now almost 3 years old. It's now been another 2 and a bit years that we've been actively trusting God to fall pregnant. And whether we get pregnant again or whether we don't, Jesus is the healer, and I put my faith in him. If I didn't experience it in this moment, Hebrews 11 tells me in the next moment that I'm in, faith is what I need to put my trust in him to see the evidence of what I don't yet see, right? And so in this moment, I get to choose again. Jesus is the healer, and he will give us a child. And in the next moment, Jesus is the healer, and there's disappointment, and I put my faith over and over. And that's what we do when we pray for the people. We put our faith in Jesus as the healer. Hallelujah. But we don't stop praying, and we don't stop believing. Andre says, I'll rather die believing than live unbelieving. And so tonight, I believe a fresh faith is going to fill our hearts to believe again and to go out and to pray and to see the powers of darkness destroyed, because Jesus came to destroy the powers of darkness, and sickness is from the pit of hell. And so we better be onto it and seeing the sick healed. Okay, we're going to watch this clip and then we're going to pray. Thank you.
They told me earlier, they said he's 80% deaf in one ear and completely deaf in the other one. He calls this one his good bad ear and the other one his bad bad ear. Cover up that other ear. Cover up your other ear.
Can we turn up the volume, please?
In Jesus' name, command these ears to open right now. Deafness, I curse you and command you get out. In Jesus' name, ear open now. Spirit of deafness, I command you get out now. In Jesus' name. Now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Jesus loves you. He goes, hey, I more than my hearing, I want something that's real. I don't want something that's fake. I've lived and known fake for too long. I don't want that. And I said, man, I said, well, Jesus is authentic. The gospel's authentic. And so we're just sitting there praying for him and praying for him and not seeing breakthrough at first. Father, I thank you that from this day forward, these ears open. In Jesus' name, complete wholeness and hearing. God, I thank you in Jesus' name that deafness leaves this man. That 100% healing, complete. From this day forward, these ears will hear. In Jesus' name.
Can you hear me? That's way better than before.
Amen.
Way better.
Amen.
I don't have to be perfect.
I know. But I want your ears to get better because Jesus paid the price for you to be completely healed of hearing loss. He paid the price for us to be healed of all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases. He paid the price, not me. He did. So I'm just trying to give him the reward of the suffering.
Well, right now, my ears are still kind of popping. I don't...
Are they popping right now?
Like Rice Krispies, kind of.
Is that normal?
No, no.
Jesus, thank you that all this popping and cracking would go. In Jesus' name. Deafness, I command you, let him go now. In Jesus' name. Right now, ears open in Jesus' name. Brand new. Brand new. God, thank you in Jesus' name. Open in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can you hear this?
Yeah. Well, did you see that oven?
That's awesome.
No, I can't talk.
You can hear, but you can't talk. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you, Jesus.
Yay, God.
Yay, God.
Out at his funeral.
In Jesus' name. He says, I haven't cried in 20 years since my dad died at my dad's funeral. And I wasn't going to cry ever again. But I'm crying now. He's a good cry. Good cry. I snap my fingers again and cry harder. Snap, snap, snap. I can hear it. I can hear it. And so his deaf ear opened up. It's just so beautiful.
Snaps never sounded so good. This is awesome. This is real.
The real.
This is real.
That's right.
Fake stuff don't come from
that. That's right. No, it doesn't. Jesus is the one. He's the real deal. It's the authentic gospel. He's the one that opens the ears. He's the one that opens the eyes.
Yeah. And heart.
And hearts. And enables a man that hasn't cried for 20 years to cry.
It terrified me. I can't win this to people.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Yeah.
I go to grocery stores and the lady says hi and I say plastic.
That's Jesus.
That's good. Amen. So now you're going to be able to witness.
Severely.
Severely. Mm-hmm. You're going to terrify the devil every day.
I plan on it.
He got the real authentic gospel. God touched him, healed his ear, and the first thing he says out of his mouth is that I'm going to be an amazing witness. Why do we get imbued with power? So that we can be an amazing witness. And this guy, like, immediately confessed it. I just love it. He said, I came here to this school not believing this stuff. He goes, but this thing changed my life. Like, it's changed the way that I see. Now it's changed the way that he hears. And so he's going to go out there and give the devil a bad day. I just love it. And that's what happened. He hasn't cried in 20 years.
Let's go out and hear some stuff.
Go listen to stuff. I love you. Bless you.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Yo, so we're going to pray now. I want to ask you to... Let's just see. If there's anyone here that is in need of God's healing power to touch you, will you just stand? We're going to pray now. If you want to stand for... Yeah, let's first just... Yeah, people here. Okay. Let's just see. So what I want you to do now is the people that is sitting next to you, link up with someone that's standing. And if there's more people standing, it's okay, then two people standing, link up. So partner up quickly, we're going to pray. Okay, face each other. Does everyone have a partner? Just two, 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 two. If there's three somewhere... let's just see. Is there anyone with three people that needs a partner? You're all fine. Okay. You guys are three and you guys are three. Can we have you just one here to go with one there? Is that okay? Oh, and you? Okay. Okay. So I want one person to do the praying in the groups of three. Okay, just one person praying. I'll explain why now. What I want you to do is, just real quick, I want you to interview the person that is in need of healing. And before you do, so I just want you to ask, what's the condition? How long have you had it? And that's pretty much it. You don't need to share the whole history, all the details, literally two things. How long have you had it and what do you need healing for? Okay, so go for it. Okay, and next thing I want you to do is take your right hand, the person that's praying, and I want you to put it in the air. And the reason we're all going to do the same thing and pray a real simplistic prayer is to show that it's got nothing to do with us and all with the power of Jesus. So this right hand of yours, it's the one that Jesus is going to use as a vessel of his power right now. This plain hand of yours. Okay, so what I want you to do is put it on the person's head. Just put it on their head. Okay. And now what I want you to do is you're going to tell the sickness to go, the pain, the condition to leave the body. Now, when there is... a dog that is massive, messing up your lawn, you're not going to start praying and telling Jesus about that dog on your lawn. You're not going to start telling Jesus about what he's doing on your lawn. You're going to start commanding that dog in a loud voice to leave, and you're going to chase him away, right? And so that's what we're doing now. We're not speaking to Jesus about the sickness. He knows what's going on. He has given us the authority. We're commanding the powers of darkness to leave the body right now. And so that's all you need to do. You can just say in a stern voice, whatever it needs to go, whatever needs to leave, to go in Jesus' name. Okay, so let's pray. Okay, and stop praying. Now I want you to ask the person who here experienced, check your bodies, check if you can check in any way. I want you to check the person that's just been prayed for healing. I want you to check if there's mobility that wasn't there before, if there's pain that was there and it's left, check your body. And if you experienced any type of improvement, I want you to raise your hand. If you experienced healing or any, praise Jesus, look around, put your hand up real high. There, over here, over here, over here. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Now, if you can test and you have not necessarily experienced full healing right now, I want you to put up your hand. Okay? Now, what are we going to do now? We're going to pray again, okay? And so again, I want the person to pray for you, to command the thing to go, the pain to leave, and anyone who still, who's been healed a certain amount, we're going to pray for full healing, 100% in Jesus' name. Okay, so pray again. Okay, and test again. I want you to check your body. If there's been any improvement or there's been healing, any pain has left, any mobility has returned, I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep your hands lifted if you experienced any healing. Everyone that experienced healing, wow, praise Jesus. What happened here?
So in 2021, I did a half marathon, and I really hurt my knee in that. And then on Sunday, I did a 10K just quick. And it was sore again. And I would probably have to see a physio. That's why my husband opted to pray. And it's really sore. The pain is really gone. It was sore behind.
I just see her jumping. Praise Jesus. Now, I praise Jesus. There were at least 10 people that experienced healing in this moment, and we just prayed a simple prayer of faith, right? And so, what if you pray for someone? We're practicing right now, but in the process, we're seeing God's power touch people, right? Because it's all in the finished work of the cross. It's not in a feeling, it's not in a hype, it's just putting our faith and commanding sickness to go. Now, what if you pray for the person, you pray once, you pray twice, and you're not seeing something happen, what then? Yes, you can keep praying. But we really want to keep people's faith in Jesus, right? And so you can just say to the person, as you pray and witness to, say you're witnessing to someone out on the street or a family member or a work colleague, and you pray, you don't want to end not having faith and saying, oh, sorry, it didn't work. We don't put our faith in the experience of the moment, right? We put our faith in Jesus as the healer. So you can just say to them, as you go to sleep at night, I am believing with you that when you wake up tomorrow morning, you will be healed. Hallelujah. And so we pray, and there's many testimonies like that of people that were prayed. I know of a testimony of a woman that was prayed for in a wheelchair. She was in a wheelchair for many years, a young lady. and a lady prayed for her. She didn't see anything happen in that moment, but as the husband and the woman in the wheelchair left, the woman started feeling something happening in her legs. They stopped in a parking lot. She got out and she started running. And they heard of that testimony. And so that is incredible. You don't know. We don't put our faith in the experience in the moment. We put our faith in Jesus as the healer, and we continue to pray for the sick. Hallelujah. You can take your seats again. Now, I know I'm done with the sessions, but the goal really is not just for us to pray here. The goal is that we would go out daily and preach the gospel, share our testimony. And so I want to give you homework. In the next week, whenever you see someone, and you'll see someone tomorrow morning, that is in need of healing, any healing, pray for them. Put your hand on them and pray for them like you did here. And then the next person, and then in the shops. Right? If we really believe, then why would we not stop at someone that's in a wheelchair or with a hearing aid? If we believe Jesus' power can show up and heal them, why would we just walk past them? And I'm speaking to myself. Right? So we keep praying. And as we go, as we share the gospel, as we pray for the sick, as we share our testimony with people, as we hear God's voice for people, I wanted to do hearing his voice, but I'm sure DRB has done plenty of that with you. As we hear his voice for people, the people will be saved, people will be healed, people's lives will be delivered from the powers of darkness, and lives will be transformed. As we go and we do these things, we look back and we see God move, right? We don't stop at individualistic situations and start analyzing them and stopping ourselves from living out the kingdom of God because of one situation in our lives. We keep going, and then we see fruit. I want us to stand, and if the worship team can just come up. I believe that God has really stirred many hearts here tonight to put our faith again in God's power to move through us in whatever way he wants to show up and move through us, as well as putting our faith in the power of God to heal people through us. And so, maybe at some point you were active in praying for the sick. You were active in taking risks and seeing God's power demonstrated through you. You were seeing fruit. And tonight, as the word was preached, your spirit is hungry for this. And you're like, I want to see the power of God move through me. I want to see the sick healed through me. You know, it says in Corinthians, desire the gifts. Now, when you baptize with the Holy Spirit, you receive the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And so there's no, you get a healing anointing, you don't get a healing anointing. When you pray for the sick and you've been filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, healing power flows through you in that moment to heal them. And so, but it says in Corinthians, desire the gifts. Desire, Holy Spirit, to move through you in power. Become hungry tonight. It's not for our sake, it's for their sake. And I believe God is saying for Shofar Cape Town specifically, this is key. Go pray for the sick. See the powers of darkness destroyed as you pray for the sick. And so as we just put our attention on Jesus and his stirring hearts, I want to pray for you this evening. And I want to ask if you, just like it says in Acts 4, you know, the believers were already filled with the Holy Spirit. But they prayed as they were being persecuted, as they were experiencing setbacks and things. They prayed and they said, Holy Spirit, Jesus, stretch out your hand in power so that we can... I want to read it here, sorry. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And so I believe tonight the Holy Spirit wants to come upon us with a fresh faith and with a fresh empowerment to flow through us in power and in healing for the lost out there, not for us, for them. And so if you're hungry right now and the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart and you're saying, I want to move in power by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want that gift of healing imparted, I want to yield to that, however it works, but I want that, I desire you, Holy Spirit. I desire your power to flow through my life again. Come fill me, come baptize me, come upon me in a greater measure of power. I want to ask you to come to the front, to kneel, to stretch out your hands to Jesus and to ask him. Come now. Yes, if the worship team can just lead us in a prayer, maybe you can play that, Come Holy Spirit. It says in Luke 11 that if you ask for the Holy Spirit, He will give it to you. If you desire Holy Spirit power, He's not going to give you something fake. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. Now, I, every few days, ask the Holy Spirit, I need your power. I need you to flow through me. I desire your voice, your heart, your boldness. It's a daily thing. I desire for Him to move through me in that way. I desire to yield to Him and not to myself. And so come yield. Become hungry right now. Just stretch out your hands to Him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Come upon us with fresh faith. With fresh faith. Come upon us with power. Stretch out your hand to heal through us. Yes, Lord, I just want to pray for us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you come upon us with a fresh boldness here tonight, with a fresh empowerment. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill us right now with the power to heal, Lord, that we would see the works of the devil destroyed, that we would see the works of the devil destroyed, that we would see sickness broken off of people, Lord. We thank you for a faith right now to be imparted to your people, Lord. I thank you that you bring an activation, a commissioning this evening, Lord, ascending out. Go and preach the gospel. Go and heal the sick in Jesus' name. Thank you that you send them out into all places of Cape Town, in their workplace, Lord, in their families. I proclaim that they will see lives touched by the power of the gospel, by the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Full in Jesus' name. Full in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. More, 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 more. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. More. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, overcome by your presence, Lord. your goodness, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.